ओम ज्ञानति मनन्दस्या ज्ञानन्दन सरके अशक्षुरनीतम येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले गुरुदस्ते गुरुस्वामीति नामिने नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद्भक्तिसिद्धान्ते स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवि गुरुवाणि प्रचारिणि निर्विशेषसुनिवादि प्रस्यचदेशतः I thank you all for coming. You know, I mean, I know Gauteng, it's always difficult to go anywhere. But it's like traffic, distance. It's not a place where you easily come together from all nooks and corners, and some of you will have to face some inconvenience to come. So I really thank you for that. Time is going by. Some of you, I know for many years, and many changes also in our lives, naturally. At the passing of time, and but we stayed, Krishna stayed, and so I'm happy about that, because that's the relationship. The spiritual master is meant to be our anchor, and he's keeping us connected with Krishna. Somehow or other, the waves of life are changing so many things. And it's amazing that sometimes a devotee who was so inspired at one phase, 10 years later, is struggling. And then again, 5 years later, again, inspired. Things change with time. We go through ups and downs. Life can sometimes really affect us. Material things can really sort of take the wind out of our sails, to stay with the ocean metaphor. And we're suddenly, spiritual life is not as easy as it was. But all this is the illusory energy that plays for us like a drama, right? And we should always remember that we are the spectator, the audience. We are simply watching all these things happening. It's not really happening to us. It's a spectacle. And we're just seeing these things in front of us. So when we remain the distant observer of the everyday circumstances, and we say, actually, where I really belong is with Guru and Krishna. Then we'll be safe. And if Krishna is too far away, well, Guru is closer. But sometimes you may even feel that distance has come between us and our spiritual master. And we may feel it's not like the good old days. Of course, when Hayagriva said the same thing to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, there are no good old days. Meaning to say, the current days are just the same. It's not like, don't idealize a certain time. Because from the sight of the spiritual master, nothing changes. He remains, he is our ever well-wisher, he really is. He is like, simply has one interest, to help us to go back to God in this lifetime. And that's why we have gathered here this evening. Vyasa Puja is in one sense formal. We started with a formal reading and of the meaning of Vyasa Puja, representative of of Krishna and Vyas, and a foot wash, and I always feel a little embarrassed at that part of the program, where I have rose petals on my feet. That's not the most comfortable moment. Yeah. But what to do? We're doing these things simply for one thing. This Vyasa Puja is simply there to reinforce our relationship, to once a year, to just strengthen that connection. And that is why one shouldn't miss it. One should, and that's why I also felt, well, I should do something. Right? Although it's sort of in between Mauritius and Cape Town. Came this morning from Cape Town, tomorrow morning. Well, this morning came from Mauritius, I think. I'm going tomorrow to Cape Town. Jai Dvaita Maharaj tells this story how he came into one country and the immigration officer asked him, "Where have you just come from?" And Maharaj, all he could say was, "Oh." And the customs officer just thought, this guy has no brain. And said, "Show me your boarding pass." Not understanding that he was dealing with like an intellectual giant, but who travels so much that he loses count of the places where he goes. Anyhow, we are here in Johannesburg, and happily so, because with all of you, I have some special relationship. All of you have come forward to be devotees. Yes, I've heard in your offerings the word faith coming up several times from various persons, and faith is a very important ingredient. Right? Faith is related to trust, and faith has to be mutual. In a guru-disciple relationship, there is not only that disciples have to have faith in the guru, but the guru also has to have faith in disciples, has to have faith that people somehow or other are ready to make that commitment. And we say, yes, let us be devotees this life. I am not one like Rukmini mentioned, to push people into a mold, right? I don't like to be pushed in a mold myself, to be honest. I like my freedom. I do. But I'm also ready to give up that freedom for Srila Prabhupada and for his movement. And I'm doing that in my life. And I'm seeing you also do that. So I'm not one to push you a lot of how you must be. I'm not going to give you a detailed lecture of exactly how you must behave. You get it from the books. And from your own inspiration. But I'm asking simply that you think deeply. Srila Prabhupada was saying that he wanted every devotee to be independently thoughtful. Now, it's a statement he made only once. It's not a thing he said many times. He said it only once. But it is a very important statement. Because ultimately, Prabhupada said other things. He said, like, everyone is flying his own plane. He was saying that when the plane is on the ground, then there is a whole staff around the plane, and, you know, they're putting fuel, and so many things they're doing, right? But once you're in the air, then you're by yourself. So Srila Prabhupada said, the guru is like, is on the ground. He gives us all the support, but we are flying. We are flying. And that is something I want to impress upon you, is that everyone is individually flying. Everyone is individually responsible for his own spiritual life. The spiritual master, of course, checks everything, that the tires are okay, that the engines are serviced, that everything is optimal for the best possible flight. He may give us some good advice about what to avoid, what not to avoid, but we are flying our own plane. We live our own life, and within it, within that life, we have to make the commitment to bring Krishna in there. I have sometimes, now that I'm speaking about flying, I've spoken about the flying doctor. In Australia, especially, it is a huge country, and there are many farms that are very large, you know, like I myself lived once on a farm which was 25 by 40 kilometers. And then the nearest neighbors are like, they are like 70 kilometers away, right? And for the rest, only kangaroos. So in places like that, you know, there they have the flying doctor. And he comes in with his plane and just lands on the farm somewhere and visits people. And the spiritual master is not like a flying doctor. Who flies around just in time, you know, to save us who are spiritually dying or spiritually totally without enthusiasm. That may be one of the side benefits. When we meet our spiritual master, we may feel that we get some strength in our Krishna consciousness. But the real thing is that he wants us to make a commitment. He wants us to sort of make sure we live a healthy spiritual life. So that is on my mind, is that that therefore you can think about what Srila Prabhupada said, to be independently thoughtful, which means that we must every once in a while take a step back from whatever is happening to us. So many things are happening to us. Whatever is happening or whatever is not happening. You know? So many things are not happening in learning your life. But whatever it is, that we take a step back from it and just look at what are our priorities in life. So many things are superficial. You see? So many things. So let's, all these superficial things, all right, you know, they're there and they mean something to us. Where we live, what we have, who we're with, this, that. But in a way, all these things are superficial. The end is, let us keep a strong connection. In every Vyasa Puja, in the offerings that devotees make, in every Vyasa Puja, the devotees are speaking about their lack of qualification. They use words about themselves, how they are fools, how they are stumbling, how they're not deserving. And these are kind of sentiments that are expressed in every Vyasa Puja. Because we all encounter that in our spiritual life. No one is beyond that. And everyone is experiencing that it's difficult to be a devotee. Very difficult. So yes, it is in a way. So for that we are always turning to Krishna. Whenever we turn to Krishna, he will surely reciprocate with us. And still more merciful than Krishna is Lord Chaitanya. So when we really are in need of strength, then we pray to Lord Chaitanya. But even Lord Chaitanya may be too far removed from us. Even Lord Nityananda. But then there's our spiritual master. So the relationship with the spiritual master is a human being present here. And the spiritual master is trying to have a personal relationship with everyone. And in that personal relationship, be available. Be there. Be ready for whatever it is. Because the spiritual master is an unconditioned well-wisher. See? He is not going to reject us. Of course, you know, I mean, if it's bad, right? I mean, if it's something very bad, he may say, oh, how could you do that? Right? I mean, he might say that in some case. It's not that he will just happily hear everything, but he will not reject us. And he will continue, and not reject us means he will continue to help us, always. And that's the relationship, and that's ultimately where it has to come to that trust, because that is faith. Faith is trust that, yes, my spiritual master is here, he will help me. And I'm hoping to create that relationship. That's what I'm aiming for. I'm not fully successful in that, I feel. I feel sometimes that although I'm trying, some distance is there, you know, between me and some of my disciples. And I don't always know what to do about it. And yeah, you know, it's like you can see the ribbons hanging on the ceiling and you can see the sign behind you, welcome to the Dhammakana Swami and so on. It's a birthday, you know, it's got the looks of a birthday, and what shall I say, you know, it's like party hats and everything, that's the whole thing, it's got a sense of humor as well, that's interesting. That's nice. So, yeah, it's a fact that it is a birthday, and I'm getting older, and inevitably so. I mean, as Rukmini is not a teenager anymore, I still look the same, but don't feel the same. As Raghavi Chaitanya is speaking about old age and disease, it sounds more familiar to me these days than it used to. So, therefore, before I used to have more energy, and I would also put more energy. I would have more energy and I would go after my disciples and really try. Yeah. Nowadays, sometimes I just can't do it. I really can't. I just can't run around. I used to go everywhere. I used to go quickly up and down, you know, like come in July, you know, like for like a few days to South Africa, although in Europe it's peak season and squeeze it in between. And I mean, all these things, all these crazy things, slowly I can't do them anymore due to time. So it's I have to leave some things with you now. Right? That's the stage of my life where I've come. I have to watch out, Chaitanya. I can't be on my feet. So some things I have to leave with you, a little more than I used to. Let us say it's like, please take it. Please take this Krishna consciousness and somehow or other build it into your life. Whatever it may take, you know, is not, at least make it strong. Because everything else will break down. Everything else we build up will just break down. Everything else, I mean, so many things we build up in life, but we can't rely on that. Therefore, at this stage of our relationship, it cannot be so much that I'm the one who is constantly trying to somehow or other inspire you. I must leave Krishna consciousness with you. And I must leave it with you to, and I must ask you to be thoughtful now at this stage. I say, think deeply about your life, you know. Think about it. So many lives have passed, and now we are here. And let's just not hesitate. We can go back to Godhead. It doesn't take so much, because there's a lot of mercy, but we have to be faithful. Faithful to the teachings. Whatever our desires are, right? What can be done? It's like nobody just walks into this movement and feels and doesn't feel the pinch. There is a pinch, you know, in following these spiritual teachings. It's not just easy, right? It's a pinch. It's a part of us wants to sort of a little more independence, a few more desires, you know, just sometimes feel just too restricted. But understand there is no alternative. There is nothing else. There is no other shelter. And when it comes to the crunch, then this is all that is there. And the crunch will come. Rest assured that no, everyone gets that, you know, in his life. These moments where it gets out of hand. Sometimes, I was just in this is the second Vyasa Puja, of course, because the first one was in Mauritius. And we had a gathering like this also there. And some devotees were saying, where are you getting all this incredible determination? Where are you getting so much determination? Well, I don't know if I have so much determination, but if I have determination, partially it started that, yes, when I was young, things went, my nice, secure world collapsed. There was a major crisis. There's a big contrast. I grew up in a really nice, sheltered place, a very sheltered family, everything very supportive, everything totally favorable. And then a major crisis, and everything. My father, a major breakdown, nervous breakdown, which destroyed everything he had built up, everything. And it took me years to take care of that. I was the eldest son, and I had to make sure that things were landing properly, you know. House, you know, property was to be sold. It wasn't just one house, different things, to make sure everyone was taken care of. There's a lot of and from that, I got a strong sense of that our security in the material world is very shaky, very shaky. It's very artificial, and it can very easily break down, just like that, you know, all your security. And I realized that deeply. So that was the beginning of a strong spiritual drive. And then, of course, then the sweetness of Krishna consciousness gradually comes in. But first we need that akinchana gocharam, to be a little bit materially exhausted. Materially exhausted doesn't mean that we have no material desires. That's not what it means. Because material desires are so deep that even on one's deathbed, one may have some material desires. But the thing is, we have to lose our faith in our material desires. What will these material desires bring us? We should not believe in them. That's the real thing. We may have some material desires, but we cannot believe that that will bring us real happiness if these desires are fulfilled. That's illusion. And thus, bring ourselves back to Krishna with intelligence, because it's all we have. We don't have love for Krishna, not so much, little. I mean, Krishna is nice. No, he is, you know. It's like we hear a song about Krishna, and it's nice, and spiritual world, it sounds wonderful. But our love is not so strong. So where the love is not strong, we have to do it with intelligence. And therefore, I'm back to this point. We must think. Krishna consciousness is not only a matter of constant cultivation, where we are constantly with the devotees, constantly trying to stay inspired. That element is there. But the other element that is really needed is that we think very deeply. So, you know, like when my family situation sort of collapsed, it was a 10-year period where things were very intense. And during that time, I went to the Himalayas. And I went to the Himalayas, and I sat very high in the Himalayas. And I was thinking, deeply thinking. Just sitting like you were sitting now. Yeah, I was thinking. I was thinking about all these things that were just collapsing and how I could not put my faith in them. And it was then, through deeply thinking about it, that I gave up my faith in all these material things. Yeah. And then, then there was only room left for faith in the Supreme Lord, and eventually that became Krishna. So in that way, I came. And everyone has to go through that stage in spiritual life where we, you know, you can't just like sense enjoyment. Oh, sense enjoyment. Oh, it's so good. How can I give it up? That's superficial. That is external. That is looking only at its short term. Now let's look at it more long term. Where is it all really bringing me? Where is it all leading to? That's what it means to be deeply thoughtful. To see things more in a long term perspective. And that is what I must leave with you. That you are independently thoughtful. Yeah, 62 now. I don't know if I'll make it till 82, you know. I have no idea. I don't even know if I'll make it till 72. I don't know. What can I say? Nobody knows. We can't count on such things. So we should not take it for granted. We should, therefore this relationship is important. We should not take this for granted. We should somehow or other make something of it, you know, and commit before it's too late. So everyone has to make that commitment. Commitment means put our faith in Krishna, that happiness will come from Krishna. Bring our faith back from other things. See that it's not worth to have faith in other things. And then faith in Krishna. Therefore, Krishna consciousness is not possible without deeply thinking. Yeah. We have to be very thoughtful people. Right? It's not... one time I went with Jayadvaita Maharaj to the headquarters of the Jehovah Witnesses in England. And it was interesting. Someone had told us that we should go see the press because of the magazine, and Maharaj is interested in presses, you know. So he said, yes, let's go see, you know, because they said they have an incredible arrangement for their magazines. Maharaj was not impressed. So this was not such good quality. And, but whatever. But we were impressed by something else. We came there, and we came a little late. Some of you know the story, because I always tell the same stories. Because they're good stories. And some people haven't heard them. I'm not telling it only for you. I'm telling it for the people who haven't heard it. Anyway, so this story, if you haven't heard it yet, you know. And if you have, you'll hear it again. But this story is, we came there and we came a little late. They had a tour, a scheduled tour at 4 o'clock, and we were like 3 minutes after four. So the tour had just left, and a group of people had just, with the tour guide, gone into the building. And it was in London, and the man said, we went up to the reception, and he looked at us like, How can I help you? And I said, we're coming for the tour. He said, the tour? Yes, the tour. All right, well, yes. Well, I guess I don't have to ask you if you want to hang your coat. And then, you know, after that, he took us to this little room where there was a little movie going on. It was showing how the Jehovah's Witnesses were very organized and how they had these Kingdom of God halls that were totally prefabricated, and then they would bring it to a site and then the community would put it up so that it was their building, but actually it was all prefabricated, but they screwed it together in one weekend. And then they had another Kingdom of God hall and the congregation built this, and they had a map and it showed how they had it all over the UK, and you could see that they were good in motivating people. And they showed how they were on the street and how they were going door to door, which, you know, is not easy, we know that. Right? So they were impressive as missionaries. But then the main thing that they were emphasizing is the family spirit. And the whole thing was family spirit. And everything was the family looks after the family, and we're such a nice family. And it's like, then as we got a tour, and then we started to notice that everywhere were signs, you know, from please be careful, mind your head, mind your hands, mind your feet, mind the step. And it was just like so many, too many, you know. They started to notice it. This is like, and then they start to explain, yes, we have, and here are the presses, and there are special sensors. If anybody comes near, then the press too close, then the press shuts down, because we want our devotees, well, you know, to be very protected and everyone to be very cared for. And here is the woodwork shop, and here the brothers are making nice folding beds for, you know, for the other members, so that the brothers and sisters are very comfortable. So, and then we came to the basement, and there was the big laundromat and this huge washing machine, the biggest I've ever seen in my life. I mean, as high as this room, with an incredible amount of washing, and everyone's washing was there in little nets with a name tag on it. And they said, like, tell us, you know, what do you hate the most? Washing. You're washing, isn't it? They do the washing. Don't, here we are caring for our brothers and sisters. And we do all the washings and we make sure nothing gets lost, because everything is in an individual net with an individual identification tag. Okay, so all that was like, so there was a lot of emphasis on that. And I could see the crux of that movement. That's all I tell of the story today. The crux of that movement was about a sense of belonging to a family. Now, I grant you that. We also have that. We also need that. But belonging to the family is not everything. The family is helping us and supporting us. But beyond that, we're not just carried by the family of God brothers, God sisters, or devotees, the Hare Krishna movement. We're not just carried by the Hare Krishna movement. No. We are independently responsible. We are independently responsible to just make the change. You know? This movement is calling for the change. Yeah? It's calling for the big change for all of us, you know. You meet this movement and you meet Prabhupada's books, and it's calling for the change. Right? The big change. And it's sort of, what to say, it's Prabhupada is just so strong about it and so direct about it and so expert about it that after a while you cannot deny it anymore. And where you start to say, well, I guess I have to make a change. That's what happens if you read Prabhupada's books. So it's the big change. And somehow or other, that everyone has to individually do. That we have to take up ourselves. And that is what it means to be independently thoughtful, that we ourselves say, are going to understand what change we have to make. And then we say, well, how am I going to do it? With my background, with my predicament, with my special handicap, with my special complications, because everybody has something. With my ego, all these things. How am I going to make the big change? With my conditioning. This is it. Where I'm from. Everyone can say he's from somewhere, it's like some people are from very pious Indian families who got a lot of good sanskars. Others are from Holland, which is known as the Netherlands, or a lot of elements in the culture have to change. Right? A lot of the elements in the culture that I grew up with, they have to go. So everyone has to, for himself, take an inventory. Right? Take an inventory and say, what has to change? And I'm not the one to force anyone. Right? I'm not the one to say we all have to be the same. No, we are individuals. And it's true, was it you who said about the crazy people we all are, or something like that? In a sense, my mood is, there are many things that don't need to change. Right? We don't need to be stereotyped. We can be individuals with our own. Krishna accepts everyone as every individual. Krishna is not that everyone has to be a certain stereotype. No. Krishna accepts whoever in the service, whatever they are. So, in this spirit, I'm ready to say yes. Many things don't need to change. We can accept. But the commitment to Krishna, that we have to make. And that is the big change that we have to make. And, bring him into our life. And it's a conscious effort to be Krishna conscious. It is really every day it's a conscious effort. And over the years in Krishna consciousness, we become more aware of it, that although we have natural Krishna consciousness over the years, still, we know that to maintain it, we need to develop it. And to develop it, we have to make a conscious effort. We cannot be the same. It is not that whatever level of Krishna consciousness you have now, you bring it back again next year when we meet again. It won't work. The pressure of Maya is too strong. It's very strong. Therefore, they have to build a spiritual life. My still unfinished book is about building a spiritual life. How we have to really fill it in, bring more elements of Krishna into our life, elements that we like. If you have one particular tune that you just, when you hear it, right? It's, yeah, it's something. It's like, it's just like that tune, right? Play it day and night, right? Just that tune, you know. Play that tune. If you have a picture, that every time you see it, you think, God, is that beautiful? Is that nice? Right? And the next time you walk past again and again, you think, God, is it nice? That picture is on your wall. That picture. If the picture on the wall is a picture of Krishna, that is good. But if you don't love that picture, then it's not the right picture. Change it. Put that. Find a picture of Krishna that you really love, and that picture goes on your wall. Right? Build a spiritual life. Make it more rich. Make it more and more rich. Ah, service, yes. Do service, yes. Don't get too much into the head. Although I said be independently thoughtful, that should also not be taken to an extreme, you know. What are you doing? I'm thinking. Alright. It's like, and how long are you going to be thinking? Okay? How about doing? Are you going to do something maybe? Also something has to be done. After thinking, some good thinking, and then some good doing. Yeah? Putting some good things in place. Yes. Do some service. Be generous. I have mentioned over the years that Vaishnav generosity is not, I'll give you a donation. Yeah? Or, you know, I'll give you a donation. No, Vaishnav generosity is to give yourself. And with that, everything follows. Yeah? That's it, Jayananda. Vaishnav generosity means to give yourself. So that's again, big challenge, right? To give yourself. That's difficult. That's difficult. But that's what we have to do. And, you know, if I think of how much Srila Prabhupada gave of himself, then I realize I'm just a shadow, you know. I'm only a shadow. What am I giving of myself each time? And then I think, that's what's lacking in me, you know, that I'm not giving myself. So this challenge is there for all of us, to give more of ourselves. But this is what this movement is calling for. And this is what will take away all our mental energy. Trivikram Maharaj, he said, you know, he said that when I think about my doubts, right, I get more and more confused. But when I think about my faults and I try to overcome them, then all my doubts disappear. So that's where the focus should go, to making that a commitment, little by little. Like, you know, my Tili Zamara, I appreciate that she's sort of like, has the spirit of a Sankirtan leader, and reading like the whole list, you know, this one out, that one out. And she's doing it, and she's not 20, you know. I mean, of course, a little old, but not that much. still full of youthful energy. And using that for distributing books. So I deeply, and not just appreciate that, I deeply respect that. I deeply respect that because I know that's not easy. That's commitment. Others made commitment. Raj Balava was the temple president of Pretoria, and you know, when there was no one to care for, he cared. Right? And he became the temple president because he cared. There was so many people who were staying in the temple, they didn't care, but he always cared. They saw it always. He was locking the doors and making sure that everything was cared for. That he did. Before he was temple president. And caring for Prabhupada's things, caring for Prabhupada's mission, that's part of commitment. That's part of the commitment. Caring, you know. It's difficult, and it's not always nice. It's like my life also went that way. I'm going to finish in 5 minutes because it's getting late. I was in Vrindavan. They put me in management. I didn't like management, but it was about caring for Prabhupada's things. What was important to Prabhupada, someone had to care for it. And they wanted me to do it because they saw that I looked after things, after Prabhupada's things. I cared for them. And still now, that's why, like, the GBC got me involved in Mayapur for the next 3 years, 3 months in Mayapur, and giving a lot of guidance of how to organize Mayapur. The sort of thing I don't want to do, to tell you the truth. Not at all. Not at this stage of my life. I'd rather write my books. But I'm doing it because ultimately we have to care for Prabhupada's things. We cannot just... These are Prabhupada's things. These are very important things for Srila Prabhupada. So we cannot just walk away. So this is, I'm speaking about, this evening I call for thoughtfulness, and that's my message this time. It has to be like that, because I have to leave it with you, you know, wherever you are, I have to leave Krishna consciousness with you. And not only your own Krishna consciousness, but also the Krishna consciousness of others, or the welfare of this movement. I have to leave this movement in your hands, in a way, part of it. 62 also means that, you know? It's like, it's your turn. You do, you know? Right? That's 62, right? 60, I mean, it's the reality, you know? Like, your turn. Yeah. It's like that, you know. Who's going to read the crazy kirtans after me? You have to work on it, you know. Picking up my tunes, but you know, I'm another Shakti also. And it's not just musical, it's everything. It's commitment. It's the commitment in service, then the commitment comes out in the kirtan. I always wondered, where did these swamis get that special energy from? It's from the input. It's all the input. Years of input that comes in the output. So let us think how we can make the big change. What we can do, the big change for ourselves, to make sure we go back to Godhead. Let's change our life enough, you know, so that we go back to Godhead. We can be individuals. Everyone is welcome. But that commitment, we have to build it with support and practices and with selflessness, and to give ourselves. So let us think of how we can arrange our life in that way, and in that way we will surely go back to Godhead. Then, you know, then the purpose of our relationship is successful, then the purpose of our life in this movement is successful. And then we can maybe do something to push forward the this movement. So many people are still in ignorance everywhere. Everyone can do something. Right? Now, with the internet, even a dwarf can be a giant. Right? On the internet, even a small man can have a big impact. Right? So everyone can reach someone. So that is my request. And we also think of what we can do to give Krishna to others. Like someone was saying, they are studying as an artist, looking at all the different kinds of Krishna art there is in India and, you know, in the whole, and in the Hare Krishna movement. And I said, why don't you make a book like that, you know? Share it with all of us. Don't just study yourself. That would be super interesting. Show us all the different ways that Krishna art is existing. So much can be done by so many. Somehow or other, let us build bridges for the world to take this Krishna consciousness. So that can also go into the basket for when you get thoughtful. And you had, like for me today, a little basket and all these things inside. And when we get thoughtful, then we can think over all these things. Okay, with that I will end. And I think there is also something like a basket or something with a few gifts that I am going to give you also. I don't want to prolong things too much by having more kirtan and a formal offering of flower petals and all that. I'm sorry, but you know, it's late night, Johannesburg. I think we gotta be, tomorrow is work, security, safety.